Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Doug Crisitello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us today from IBM is Dennis Kayser. Doug, the FY11 budget strategy is informed by five overarching strategic goals. Would you elaborate on the extent to which HUD links its budget planning process to its strategic vision to ensure investments tie back to strategic goals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have really, and much of this was underway before I got to HUD, and I've just been incredibly impressed at HUD's strategic planning and their desire to link the overall vision for the department to these very integrated strategic plan, and then down to execution, and budget execution obviously is a key part of that. Let me lay out the five strategic goals. The first involves HUD strengthening the nation's housing market to bolster the economy and protect consumers. There's no doubt that HUD has just played such a critical role in the primary mortgage marketplace here over the past couple of years. And our budget for the Federal Housing Administration and for Ginnie Mae clearly reflects what we're trying to do with that goal. It's a very robust request for both of those agencies within HUD. So just that's a great example right there. Our second strategic goal is to meet the need for quality, affordable rental homes, continuing HUD's efforts to really rebalance national housing policy and reassert federal leadership on rental housing. In past decades, to promote home ownership. Well, you know, perhaps home ownership isn't perfect for everyone, and it's important to have safe and decent rental housing. There's been a real focus at HUD to ensure that we have adequate funds dedicated to that purpose. Again, Secretary Donovan's leadership on this front has really been laudatory. He has a major effort underway to transform rental assistance, to rethink how we do it. And again, the linkage between our strategic plan and budget just couldn't be clearer. Our other three goals are to ensure that HUD, you know, utilizes housing as a platform for improving quality of life, to also help build inclusive and sustainable communities that importantly are free of discrimination, with an emphasis on place-based, the importance of place. You know, it's not just houses out in the wilderness. There's schools involved, transportation systems, there are environmental considerations. It's been great to see this goal of our strategic plan in action because it's not just a HUD-specific thing. And we're working closely with departments across the government to promote place-based solutions. It's just a wonderful goal. And our fifth goal, most tactically, we're looking to transform the way HUD does business, to move this department into the future in a way that's efficient, that's reliable, held to the highest standards. Let's accomplish these goals, but let's do it in the most cost-efficient manner that we can. So that's the vision and the strategy to get there that I mentioned earlier.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your overall financial management modernization strategy, how that system maybe HIFMIP fits into that strategy and will change operations for you?
Yeah, a couple of high-level comments on that front. My mantra around HUD is, it's all about the data. Our financial systems modernization efforts are part of a broader process, and we're seeking reliable financial information to enable decision makers around the department to make informed decisions. Moving toward a modern financial system, such as HIFMIP, our integrated core financial system, is a big step in that direction. It serves as the foundation of our financial operations. It's important. It's part of a process. We're not going to eat this elephant in one bite. And we've structured our financial systems modernization efforts into manageable pieces. Right now, we have an 18-month scope to roll out and to go live with an integrated financial management system. It's getting a tremendous amount of attention within the department. We're moving on it, and we're going to end up with very accurate, consistent, timely financial information. That's what we need. So as the business of HUD changes, you know, we're going to be positioned to adapt. And that's exactly what HUD needs right now.
Your department received an unqualified opinion on its principal financial statements for the 11th consecutive year. Now, this demonstrates a clear pattern of financial accountability. First, you know, what's the significance of a clean opinion? And then what are the keys in actually achieving a timely and clean opinion?
Well, you know, a clean audit opinion provides a reasonable assurance that our financial balances are accurate and that internal controls are operating effectively. But it doesn't mean that HUD can't improve here. So having a clean opinion, it's not a be-all and end-all. It's a necessary but not a sufficient condition for us getting, you know, getting back to having that data that we need to inform our leaders and the staff throughout HUD. You know, I would say that an unqualified opinion doesn't imply that improvements aren't needed. So we're going to continue to push. I mean, we'll get our new financial systems in place that really, that's just going to enhance our ability to continue to get clean audit opinions, you know. So we're 11 years in a row now. You know, I'm quite confident that this just sort of pushes us over the top and puts us in very good position for years to come once HIFMIP goes live. But there's a lot more to be done on this front, sort of beyond just making sure that we have clean financial statements. You know, you picture the ideal state, you know, the omnipotent data warehouse at HUD would be just a single warehouse, and we'd be able to access that data, and we could look at it across the country. Where are things working? Where do we need help? How does this all feed down into our, you know, our financials and our budget? I mean, that's the long-term vision.
That's a great segue into budget and performance integration that lies at the heart of ensuring both strategic allocation and the efficient use of funds. So with your mantra being the data, what are you folks doing at the department to integrate budget and performance data? And how are you expanding the use of financial data to inform your management decision-making?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've mentioned our five strategic goals, and it just really a terrific document. I'd welcome anyone to go to HUD.gov and look at it. It is just eminently understandable and in plain speak, just a terrific document. But again, it comes down to execution. We've articulated the vision. Now, how do we execute that? And one thing that the Secretary has instituted at HUD that I have just been incredibly impressed, and the OCFO is in the process of helping to strengthen this initiative, is something that we call HUDstat. HUDstat is modeled after the renowned CompStat program that the New York City Police Department used. You know, and that effort in New York was all about targeting the resources of the city and the police department to where crime was the worst, and also looking for best practices. Where is crime going down and what are we doing there? So the Secretary has instituted HUDstat across HUD with the goal of executing our strategic plan. So we're meeting monthly. 1 month we'll spend on one strategic goal and rotating those goals through. But it's a terrific system where everyone's sitting down talking about what's working and helping us achieve these goals and looking at real data. Again, it comes back to it's all about the data. So we're looking at real data in pretty real time, you know, could be a little better, I think, on that front. But importantly, we're also looking where aren't things going well? And what do we need to do to improve? And it's an all-hands meeting. So these HUDstat meetings, it's the senior leadership team at HUD, cross-siloed. It's not just the main office within HUD that's focused on this goal. So everyone's sort of got their sleeves rolled up, including the program managers that might be running a specific program that we're talking about. And importantly, I have to emphasize, it's not just a Washington, D.C. thing. We have folks from the field, they're there where the rubber hits the road, where they're explaining what's happening at the local level. And it's just fascinating. You think about how data can inform that process even more. Real-time, actionable data. And again, that's what I'm striving for with an OCFO.
Well, Doug, during our conversations, you've mentioned the importance of your agency being good stewards of the public trust. And I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about how you're embedding and developing and maturing an internal control model within your department.
Again, it's a process. Our internal controls are focused not only on what we do within the OCFO, but across program offices. I mean, they're held accountable. I mean, we working closely with them to highlight their accomplishments and best management practices. Just a constant back and forth where we're asking, what are you accomplishing in your office? You know, are you preventing waste, fraud, and abuse? You know, we're addressing any material weaknesses that have been identified by our Office of the Inspector General. So kind of upside, downside. The upside, you know, we're looking, what are these program offices doing right? But we're also looking for areas where we can address weaknesses and identify risk. Importantly, one thing that we do within the OCFO is to perform front-end risk assessments. So for any new program or any program that has a significant change in their funding level, we are performing a front-end risk assessment within OCFO to take a look at, you know, what's the plan here to safeguarding taxpayer dollars? What are we doing within the program office to ensure that these dollars are spent wisely and controlled?
So, Doug, HUD has been a leader in the federal government in reducing improper payments. I believe you've reduced improper payments from about $3.4 billion in fiscal year 2000 down to about $925 million in fiscal year 2009. A 73% reduction is quite impressive. Could you tell us more about which HUD programs may be more susceptible to such errors and why that is?
Well, I guess the primary culprit at HUD over time has been our rental housing assistance programs. I mean, they have been subject to some improper payments. But as you said, I mean, we've made tremendous progress on this front. I mean, we've reduced the amount of improper payments by about 75% in recent years. And, you know, we've achieved that success principally through the use of Enterprise Income Verification System, an EIV system that we use at HUD, to ensure that the beneficiaries of these programs sort of are in the situation that we think they are, right? The public housing programs are intended to assist low and very low income individuals. And we want to make sure that that's who's benefiting from this. This is a very large spend item for HUD to provide this assistance. You know, working with the Office of Public and Indian Housing and also our Office of Housing, we've been able to make tremendous strides in this area just in a very short period of time.
So you talked a little bit about the approaches that you have there, and the results are pretty impressive. How much of a challenge is it, though, for your organization really to still address this problem?
Well, you know, we're continuing to push on that front. This generic issue of improper payments has received, quite a bit of focus across the federal financial management community recently because the president signed legislation back in December that requires agencies to take a very strategic approach in reducing improper payments, especially in the current environment. I mean, it holds true at any time, but we can't be making payments erroneously. We need to make sure that these dollars go to whom they're intended. We all should have a healthy dose of skepticism within the financial management community that is just the bare minimum that we need to ensure. So, you know, I'm thrilled that HUD is a leader in this area in terms of reducing those improper payments. But, you know, our goal is to reduce it to zero. I mean, let's not make improper payments.
Doug, for the fourth year in a row, your department has received the prestigious Association of Government Accountants Certificate of Excellence in Accountability Reporting, or CEER Award. First, what are the benefits of accountability reporting? And second, would you tell us more about the award as process and the significant milestone for your organization?
It's just really been a tremendous honor for the staff at HUD to receive the CEER Award for the last 4 years. I think it really does point out the terrific work that's done by the career staff around government. I mean, we draw this distinction. I'm a political appointee. Most of the CFOs around government are political appointees. We come in and we affect the change that we can while we're there. The CIRA Award, in my view, is really commending the terrific work that's done by the career staff that are there for the long haul and are ensuring that we have sound processes in place, that we're doing everything possible to integrate budget and performance. And it's a terrific recognition. Once again, though, come back to my theme that data is key. I want to see the SEER review panel looking more. What are these agencies doing to look into the future about the importance of financial information? And what are program managers at these departments doing with the information that's generated by OCFOs around government? I mean, that's I think, the question of this the new decade that we're in right now.
How is HUD transforming the way it does business? We will ask Doug Crisitello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.